877-217-5757, 49 days from the finish line between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, two seasoned politicos, the two oldest candidates in the history of American politics to seek the presidency. Biden will be 78 next month, and Trump turns 74 in June. And so when they go on the debate stage in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from tonight, we will have two men who are combined more than 152 years of age. Compare that to Dick Nixon and John Kennedy back in 1960. Their combined age was 90. Faye Williams is with us, a longtime Politico, head of the National Congress of Black Women in Washington, D.C. And Scott Wilfong is in studio, longtime Republican consultant, and I'm sure they'll have differing opinions. And again, we'd like to hear from you, 877-217-5757. Faye Williams, is it in the bag? Biden is ahead in the polls, but does that mean anything 7 weeks from the finish line?
Well, it's always nice to hear that, Jim, but no, we don't take anything for granted. You know, we look back at 2016, where it seems that a lot of people did take the race for granted. And, of course, this year we have even more to be concerned about when the president himself is constantly talking about fraud and other things and their obvious attempts to suppress the vote.
All right. Well, 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton had a lead in the polls of, probably at this time around 5 points. She ended up winning by 2.1 points, but she lost in the Electoral College, which is where the action is, and Donald Trump is the president. There isn't much conjecture now about who will win the overall vote. That appears to be in the bag for Joe Biden, but can the president eke out a win in places like Florida and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, as he did 4 years ago, and win going away in the Electoral College?
Well, of course he can do that, but I think we will think back to 2016 and not take it for granted, spend more time in those states that we need to win the electoral vote. I think people are ready to go out. They've had enough to say, you know, enough is enough here. We have got to go out. We've got to do everything that we can. And then when you add to that the postal problem with the Postmaster General making attempts to suppress the vote, I think that will simply energize people who are going to be voting against the current president to go out there and make sure that we win in every way, you know, the total number of votes plus the Electoral College.
Scott Wilfong, you have been buoyant in your support for the president and confident from day one that he would win re-election. In fact, I think you even said he would get more electoral votes this time than last. Do you hold true to that?
I've looked a little bit at it. I kind of waver on that. I do see him somewhere around the 300 mark. It might lose Michigan, might win New Hampshire, though. You know, those would be some flips. But, Wisconsin looks really good. I think Florida and North Carolina are kind of the firewall. I think as long as he holds those two, he'll get one of those others, like Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania looks good as well. These states that are just, you know, experiencing this kind of this craziness, this chaos, and it's playing right into Trump's hands. I mean, I'm almost wondering if Minnesota might not be in play with everything they've been through. I mean, is that what you want? Is a president who won't even acknowledge the disrespect for law and order, the outright murder of police officers, that actually wants to condone this kind of activity?
Is that what he's doing?
That's what I see him doing. Yeah,
okay,
when he talks about it not being a big deal. But let me say one thing since you alluded to it. I will agree with Faye on the postal system. If anybody, left or right, feels confident casting their ballot through the mail this year, I would caution them. Even if you're for Biden, I would say be very careful. I'm not about to cast my vote through the mail. I had a check come to me from Alexandria 2 weeks ago. It took 8 days. 8 days to arrive here. And when it got here, the postmark was correct. It just took 8 days. So don't trust the postal system.
And the president, of course, will be voting by mail. And I'm looking at this list of states, battleground states. And mind you, 7 weeks in politics is an eternity. We have three presidential debates and one vice presidential debate, which could change the inertia. But in Wisconsin, where Trump won 4 years ago, Biden is ahead in the latest conflation of polls by 6.3 points. In Nevada, where Hillary Clinton barely won by less than a point, Biden's ahead by 6. In Arizona, he's ahead by 5.6. Pennsylvania, 4.3. Michigan, 4.2. Ohio, 2.4. Florida 1.2, and North Carolina 0.8. Now, Trump leads in Georgia by 1.3, and Iowa by 1.7, and Texas 3.5. So the president has some ground to make up. Roy Fletcher has called him the greatest closer in the history of American politics. He's got some closing to do, Scott.
He does, but, I mean, that's exactly – don't forget, last week was Labor Day, which is the traditional – you know, the unofficial start to the campaign season. So that was just last week. To think that the polls today are reflective of exactly what's going to happen on November 3rd, of course not. It's the fact that, you know, 1 point here, three points there, as you said, with four presidential debates and an eternity of advertising. You know, I've said on this show before, the worst – the most ridiculous statement in politics is, well, if the election were held today – but it's not, and the ads haven't been spent, the mail hasn't been sent, and the message hasn't been sent, hasn't been delivered.
Daniel in South Baton Rouge, you're on the air with Scott and Faye. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. My comment is, if Donald Trump was in office before Donald Trump was in office, nobody had a chance to see what kind of guy he was, what kind of person he is. Now we had 4 years to see what kind of person he is, and in these protests, if that's a sign of anything, to vote Donald Trump out of office, Donald Trump would definitely be out of office, and I can't wait.
All right. Well, he is the president, Scott, and this unrest in the streets, he's not taking any acceptance of, as he believes it's other people's fault. Do people buy that?
I think when you see Democrat mayors like in Portland and other places say, no, stay away. We don't want help from the government. And Donald Trump is saying, I'll send in the National Guard. I'll shut this down. I'll take care of it. And these Democrat leaders say, no, we prefer it. I don't think voters are going to blame Donald Trump for that. I think they're going to lay the blame exactly where it lies, which is in these Democrats that
so
want this court.
So you think he's going to carry Oregon?
I don't think he'll carry Oregon, no.
877-217-5757. We'll return with more Talk Louisiana. Faye Williams on the left, Scott Wilfong on the right. And if you'd like to send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us. Faye Williams, the veteran political activist, was a congressional candidate of historic nature in 1986 in Louisiana, losing an extremely narrow loss to Clyde Holloway in a district that was only 38% African-American in the old 8th district. She's since become a mover and shaker in Washington and on several occasions has been named one of the 100 most influential African-Americans in the country by Ebony Magazine. And she is head of the National Congress of Black Women. And Scott Wilfong, who's had a number of successful endeavors in Louisiana at the age of 44, will likely be with us for a while. Some people like that, others don't. And he narrowly lost a race to Lewis Gurvich, to be chair of the Republican Party. 877-217-5757. Corey on Jennifer Jean. Corey, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dr. Williams and Scott Wilfong.
Good morning, everybody, and to you, Mr. Jim. I have a question. Looking back at the 2016 election and looking forward to this year's election, I believe David Brooks, and he's not liberal, he summed it up perfectly, or my opinion, that in the 2016, the American voted with their middle finger. Excuse my language, that's his language.
All right. Faye Williams, did Americans not like Hillary Clinton, not like the establishment, and were willing to accept Donald Trump, who, of course, has been part of the business establishment in a very huge way, but was there a perception that this was somehow, some way going to send a message to those in power in Washington that we need change?
I think not. Hillary Clinton has done a lot for the country. Hillary Clinton, remember, got far more votes than Donald Trump received. It's just our crazy electoral college system that allowed him to win. And unfortunately, her staff, and she did not spend enough time in those states, but she by far got millions more votes than Donald Trump received. I don't think that's showing that Americans didn't like her. It was just ones in certain states.
All right. Well, Scott, is Biden more likable than Hillary Clinton?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess Joe's a good guy. I mean, he didn't kill an ambassador and he didn't commit treason
by
hiding emails in a secure server offsite.
Well, but, she didn't, you know, either. So I guess, and what about all the people the president killed, according to Bob Woodward?
I think we've got a lot more proof on the Clinton murders than we do on the on the Trump.
I'm not so sure.
I think
we
Joe
have
Biden,
the president in his own words, saying on February 7th that this was a killer virus, and he was telling the American people that it was just going to go away, Scott. It was just going to go away.
Well, I think if you know, if people look to the president of the United States for their health care guidance, then they're the ones that are mistaken. People need to take responsibility for their own
health.
Why
do we have all these press conferences every day, then?
I'm glad he stopped those, by the way. I thought those were ridiculous. He was giving a platform to these, you know, self-interested
sycophants.
To these
nutbags like Dr. Fauci, right?
Like Dr. Fauci, yeah, the renowned atheist who can't wait to make his billions off the vaccine that's
coming.
Some
of my best friends are atheists, but please continue.
Well, mine too. But I think that, back to your question, I mean, Joe Biden is obviously eminently more likable than this, you know, awful Hillary Clinton, who just won't go away, by the way. Did you notice that? I mean, she still has to insert herself.
Do you really think that if Trump loses, he's going to go away? If he loses this election, will he just suddenly go away? He'll ride off like George Strait?
It's probably not in his nature, but, you know, even Barack Obama took a little time to step back before he came back into the public eye. Hillary somehow didn't get the message that it's you. It's like the old relationship thing. It's not you, it's me.
Well,
it's you.
We've got folks waiting in line to talk to Scott and Faye. Let's go to Rose in Mid-City. Rose, good morning. Please be brief. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I just want to say I'm a veteran. I'm a woman. I voted for Hillary. But what I do not like about our present president is he is not a leader. He did not lead us to wear masks. He did not tell us the truth about this pandemic. It is hitting Hispanic people like me and black people.
All right. Well, Faye Williams, thank you, Rose. Faye Williams, is Rose onto something, or are there enough people like Rose to mean a victory for the septuagenarian Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.? What do you think?
I think so. When you look at the fact that Governor Kasich early came out for Joe Biden, when you look at Romney's staff and Governor Kasich's staff, Colin Powell's staff, McCain's staff, all of these people in large numbers are coming out for Mr. Biden. I think that you know, we'll be okay. We've just got to work for it. And then when you look at the fact that Scott, first of all, I want to thank Scott for a civil conversation this morning. Usually when I have a Republican opponent, it's not a civil conversation, but I think we need more of these, and I want to appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
One thing I want to comment on is calling the protest craziness. If you were a black person, you would not call it craziness. What you would call crazy is those people like QAnon and others that come in and start the fires, and we've seen them doing it, the man with the umbrella in Minnesota. The protesters are peaceful. Many of them are people I know. It's the outside people who come in and cause all these problems, but we've found that many of those are people who are against the protesters, against my rights. They want to oppress them.
All right. Dan in downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on with Dr. Williams and Scott Wilfong.
Yes, Mr. Wilfong, would you not have to agree that the GOP master manipulators have gone to school on the old Henry Ford anti-union effort, hiring goons to disrupt strikes? Now it's to deprive peaceful protesters against racism of public support.
That sounds like a pretty canned question, but I guess your point is that you're a pro-union guy. No, I don't think that it's been about that. I do think, however, that these Antifa protesters, I'll agree with Faye in a sense, especially the African-American protesters, have largely been more peaceful, and they have a point that they're making. It's these paid protesters that are staying in $500 a night hotels, mm-hmm. paid for by somebody. I can only imagine maybe his initials are GS or perhaps HC, that are putting these people up and causing this chaos. And then these Democrat mayors, like in Seattle, they create a zone of occupation. What leader in their right? You want to talk about a lack of leadership. How about these mayors that say, no, just come on and take over our city? How'd you like it if that was your house, if your business or your home was within that, quote, occupied zone? All right. And you're telling the president, no, stay away, we're okay.
On the issues, I think it's fair to say that abortion remains a major issue in the United States almost 48 years after Roe v. Wade. But the president has appointed two Supreme Court justices who will likely toe the line on that issue. There's no indication that Gorsuch and Kavanaugh will do otherwise. But here is Donald Trump in his heart of hearts, this man who was a swinging playboy in New York City for many years and has acknowledged that he may have been involved in abortions on a personal level. Here he is with Tim Russert when he was thinking about running for president, describing his view on abortion. Here's Donald Trump.
Partial birth abortion, the eliminating of abortion in the third trimester. Would President Trump ban partial birth abortion?
Well, look, I'm very pro-choice. I hate the concept of abortion. I hate it. I hate everything it stands for. I cringe when I listen to people debating the subject. But you still, I just believe in choice. And again, it may be a little bit of a New York background because there is some different attitude in different parts of the country. And, you know, I was raised in New York and grew up and work and everything else in New York City. But I am strongly for choice, and yet I hate the concept of abortion.
But you would not ban it?
No.
Or ban partial birth abortion?
No, I would. I am pro-choice in every respect.
All right, there's Donald Trump not so long ago saying he was for partial birth abortion. Scott, does that in any way influence you?
I think Joe Biden was on the record opposing gay marriage very recently. In fact, during the Obama administration while he was vice president.
Okay.
Today he thinks differently.
So I
respect that change of opinion, and I hope people that I would expect people to respect Donald Trump's change of opinion.
Faye Williams, do you think
I think
president
so.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Scott, I think even before President Obama came out in favor of gay, gay marriage, I believe Mr. Biden was the one who brought that out in terms of supporting the concept.
Well, he may well have been, but he is on the record in recent times as being opposed to it, and maybe he was the one that led Obama to that change. But you know, this is the kind of gotcha politics that I think voters kind of see through. That anybody that doesn't change their opinion when presented with better information is too stubborn to lead. So I respect both of those. I respect both those men for changing their minds.
You know, Scott, I can understand that a lot of people do change. There are people now who are supporting the protesters who just a few months ago were totally against protests, but do understand voter suppression, do understand injustice, do understand that the murder of Breonna Taylor for nothing and the murder of the young man in Georgia and, you know, other places. People learn and then they change their minds.
All right, 877-217-5757. We'll part briefly for the news and return with another segment with Dr. Williams and Scott Wilfong. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 7 weeks away from an historic election, Donald John Trump, Joe Biden, the two oldest people to ever be nominees of their parties, and one of them will end up being the oldest president in the history of the country. In fact, Trump already is, and Biden would be even older. In fact, would be older on his first day than any president in the history of our country. He has a nominee for vice president, who is the first African-American woman to be on a national ticket, and Kamala Harris, the senator from California. And Scott, a listener notes that Donald Trump contributed $6,000 in recent years to Kamala Harris's electoral endeavors. Does that bother you at all?
No, I think Donald Trump actually gave to Hillary Clinton at one point, too. That's what business people do. I mean, you know, sleeping your way to the top's not the only way to get there. You still have to raise money.
Sleeping your way to the top?
Well, that was Kamala Harris. She was Willie Brown's girlfriend. That was how she got her start.
You know, that's unfortunate, Scott. I'm really surprised to hear you say that. You assume that a brilliant, smart woman like Kamala Harris slept her way to the top?
She was Willie Brown's girlfriend.
A lot of people have girlfriends and boyfriends, but we don't call it sleeping to the top. That's only used when it refers to women, and I hope you would not use it again. I was beginning to have a lot of respect for you, but that one, you made a mistake, I believe.
Well, I believe Willie Brown was married at the time, and Kamala Harris was involved in a sexual relationship with him.
Well, I don't know that he was married at the time, Scott, I mean, that's a treacherous thing when you're talking about sex and this president. Who's accused of raping a woman in a department
thank
store?
Thank you for making
married,
my point.
Married
I thought,
three times.
I thought a person's
Kamala
sexual.
Kamala Harris has been married once.
I thought
Donald
a person's
Trump's
sexual
been, okay.
background was everything.
Well, then
that's,
I think
that,
you could put Kamala Harris up to the president any day of the week, and you're going to end up siding with Kamala Harris when it comes to morality.
Well, then let's keep the same standard. Let's keep the same standard. If Trump's sexual background is
but
is,
you used the term sleeping your way to the top. That's what was offensive.
Well, I don't believe she had any position of authority whatsoever until she was Willie Brown's girlfriend.
She is a brilliant person. person. There's no doubt about it, and people do have relationships, Scott. I would imagine you and I have relationships, but that doesn't mean we slept our way to the top.
Well, I think when you trace someone's ascent in power to their involvement.
She was not even involved in politics then. She later.
She wasn't involved in anything.
It was long, long, long after her relationship with Willie Brown that she became Attorney General of the great state of California.
I'm sure it had nothing to do with Willie's influence either.
So. Well, Willie is one of those people who's popular in San Francisco, but he's never won statewide. So I think she did it on her own. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Jim, I can't in good conscience have a conversation with Mr. Wilfong unless and until you apologize for that remark regarding Kamala Harris. Sir, you are a piece of filthy trash, and I have no respect for you, I don't wish to have a discussion.
I love the hypocrisy of someone that calls to insult my integrity and then uses
David, you were off base, too, so let's stop this while we're behind.
This is the liberal way.
Well, this is unfortunately the American way in which we have more heat than light. But Faye Williams, this kind of conversation, as you know, is being replicated all over the country.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Scott would rethink that. I wouldn't beat up on him about it, but just ask him not to use that one, because that is going to probably take away a lot of support from your candidate if we go by those standards. And we don't want to do that. We want to go by what the candidate can do for the people, no matter who or whom the person slept with. I think it's irrelevant. I think we need to look more at the crimes that have been committed by people on each side. I don't remember anybody from Kamala Harris's side going to prison or being convicted of lying or cheating or what have you. But we can look at the books that are coming out now and also the admissions of the president and see what all of these men have done in terms of, things that are against the benefit of the country and the.
All right, Jay in Mid-City. Jay, you're on with Dr. Williams and Scott Wilfong. Hi, Jay.
Hi. First of all, Kamala Harris is not African-American. And secondly, the Democrat, the media, and the black leaders are just worried to death that the black vote is not going to be there this time. It's a woke black population that's not going to vote, and it's some that's going to vote overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. He's going to get about 20% African-American vote because going around, coming to us, just talking about racism, dancing, and saying something resonate with the black community, some hip hop stuff. That's over with.
All right, Faye Williams, Jay in Mid City says that Trump will receive 14% of the African American vote. You and I know that's not going to happen, but he says he's an African American and he's not pleased with the way the campaign's being conducted on the other side. Does he have a point?
Well, I mean, obviously, we are thinking about all of the voters, and we're going to make the point, and I am one of those people who is on the Black Women for Biden committee. I think we're going to influence as many sensible people as we can to vote for Mr. Biden, and I think if we give them the facts and all of the things that Mr. Trump has done against them, some of that 14% he's talking about will change their minds when they go into the voting booth, no matter what they're saying publicly. You know.
All right. Before we go back to the phone lines, quickly, Matt, President Trump, number 45, and head coach Ed Orgeron, 15-0, they have definitely a man crush, and Coach O is solidly in the president's corner. And for those who are unaware of this, certainly a man who goes 15-0, leads a national championship team, is probably the most powerful guy in the state of Louisiana. Here's the president and Coach O.
Makes me proud. I love President Trump. He treated us very well. We went to the White House. I think he's doing a fantastic job.
All right. Do we have President Trump? Matt says we don't. Okay. It was Trump who said he's all man.
You could almost say Orgeron was 16-0 because he went outside the box and endorsed John Bel Edwards for re-election last year, too. He was one of the few, few leaders that did that.
He did. Gustavo in Goodwood. Hi, Gustavo.
Good morning. I think Kamala Harris has as much African as I do, and my family has 20 generations of Spaniards, so I don't have any African, nor does Ms. Harris.
All right. Now, Kamala Harris' father, go ahead.
Jim, that the one-drop rule initiated in Louisiana
And I believe Kamala's father is from a country that, you know, has a lot of African Americans. But does it even matter? I mean, she just happens to be a person that in our country we call, quote, a minority, mm-hmm. because she is, you know, native, I mean, of Indian descent. But why is that even important? If we believe and if she says she's African American, my mother, you know, is not black, but she says she's black because she was married to a black man and she had black children. So she preferred to call herself black, but she's actually French, white, and Native American.
All right.
I think that's exactly right, and Faye makes a great point. We should be past the discussion of race. We've elected a black president already. What are we worried about the race of Kamala Harris? The only race that mattered to Kamala was sending black men to prison when she was a prosecutor in California. So her race doesn't matter to me, but, you know, it might to others who want to look at her past.
James in Metairie. Hi, James.
Well, good morning, DJ. You know, the right-wing side of this whole thing, Mr. Wilfong talking about Kamala Harris sleeping her way to the top. It's gutter politics, fear and smear. I wonder what we could say about the president's wife. But what I wanted to comment on was the just unbelievable comments from the guy, what is his name, Caputo. He's talking about insurrection, folly if Trump loses, sedition, talking about government officials engaging in sedition because they don't agree with President Trump on this COVID-19 crisis.
All right. Are we going to have blood in the streets if the president loses, Scott?
I think we've got blood in the streets right now. I don't think it will be about the president losing. It's about places in our country, pockets of our country that have no leadership. Those will always be at risk.
The president has said he may not accept a defeat. Does that mean that he has a passionate base, that he could stir that base into actions that would be violent and tragic?
Absolutely, Jim. We have to really be concerned about what the president is saying. I know some people just kind of laugh and say, you know, he's joking. But I think he's very serious. I have believed for a long time that when he loses this race, he's not going to leave the White House, you know, voluntarily, as other presidents have done. I believe he's going to fight it. He's going to challenge everything. But he is the cause of a lot of this dissension. He is the cause of people being confused about Russia and whether Russia is a friend of ours or just a friend of Mr. Trump's.
All right, Doug on Highland. Doug, good morning. You're on with Faye and Scott. Hi, Doug.
Well, good morning. I wanted to correct one of the numerous falsehoods that's been stated this morning. Joe Biden actually supported gay marriage. Barack Obama was the one who was a little slow and finally came around.
Well, I think in the past, before he supported it, he was against it, as well, almost every American politician was. But go ahead.
When he was vice president, he had changed. Also, you know, this idea, which is so pernicious, that Democratic mayors are fine with rioting and looting and things like that, that's a total falsehood. And the folks in these cities are trying to deal with a very difficult situation. Some of the protesters are not being helpful. Some of them get out of control. That's a whole separate issue. They don't want that to happen. And, you know, it's just very pernicious of the president to try to suggest otherwise. And in Portland, he said a bunch of unidentified people in unmarked vans who no one knew who they were. They were throwing people in vans, acting exactly like secret police.
All right. Scott, we only have a minute, but I'd like to get you and Faye to give your take on where we are 7 weeks out. If you were predicting now, what do you think will happen on November 3rd?
I stick with, I think Donald Trump wins. I think he gets somewhere north of, I mean, anywhere from 290 to 310 electoral votes, just based on how the states go. He might lose one he won, but he might win one he lost. And, you know, I just don't see him losing Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Florida, North Carolina. You know, four of those five, which is basically what it would take for Joe Biden to win. It's not a popular election.
Your thoughts, Dr. Williams?
Well, of course, I'm supporting Joe Biden, and we're not taking anything for granted. Scott may be right. He may win. Mr. Trump may win some of those, or that, you know, the cheating may go, as Mr. Trump continues to talk about, and he may win them that way. But we think in the end, we will win. I think the good is going to win this time, and Biden's side is the good in this race.
Well, thanks to both of you. We'll be talking again soon, and we'll be back with more Talk Louisiana after this brief time.